I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsafe the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and Simon Constable of Wall Street Journal and Barron's and other distinguished publications is in Edinburgh, Scotland, observing the momentary normalization of the virus, of inflation, of supply chain for Scotland. And between Edinburgh and Glasgow, you have a great amount of the population at peace. But no, now we go to the reports in London papers. This is the Telegraph reporting. Dublin preparing emergency plans for EU-UK trade war. The Irish government is dusting down no-deal Brexit plans in case Northern Ireland protocol dispute escalates. Lead paragraph. Dublin is preparing emergency plans for EU-UK-EU trade war sparked by Britain overriding the Northern Ireland protocol. Says the Deputy Prime Minister of Ireland, we're making preparations. We had a meeting yesterday of the Cabinet Subcommittee on Brexit, essentially to dust down and restart our contingency preparations should we get into difficulty. Simon, this story was behind us. We settled this. It was over. And now it's broken out again. Can you explain why? Not how, because it's very, very complex. But why now? Is this Boris Johnson? Is this London? You're in a position where you can blame anybody because Scotland's not involved in this one.
Yes, Scotland is definitely not involved in this one. If anything, Scotland or a lot of people in Scotland would want to be part of the EU and never had a Brexit. This is interesting. Let's first back up some recent events. You mentioned the sausage war, which seemed to get pushed aside, which is good. But we've also had that tiff over the fishing off Jersey, which is one of the Channel Islands, and the French boats there. And Emmanuel Macron, the Premier of France, has been rather upset by the fact that the UK and the US got a deal to supply nuclear subs to Australia instead of the French. So he's been hopping mad all along. This, if there is a break in the Article 16 protocol of Northern Ireland, that will send the EU, particularly the French, into apoplexy. I think this will be like a real nasty trade war. I mean, there's a long history between the UK and France, but let me go down to this. There have been negotiations for a long time now over how things should operate in Northern Ireland, about what special dispensation can be given because of the troubles, because we don't want another resurgence of paramilitary activity, which is basically terrorism in Northern Ireland or anywhere else for that matter. And the EU really have not given much. And that sort of frustration of Boris Johnson over that, I think, is what's causing this. He's just frustrated. And you get to that point sometimes where you've tried negotiating, you've given your best you can for a long time, and suddenly you throw your toys out of the pram and say, that's it, I'm not doing this anymore. And I think that's what we've come to now. And I'm not going to explain the Northern Ireland protocol because, as you said, John, it's very complicated.
We're looking at the potential of tariffs on British goods, suspension of parts of the trade deal, or cancellation of the whole agreement, which would take place over the next year. And you mentioned the violence. There are reports now that there's already contact along the Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland border, contact that is suggestive of violence. This was solved decades ago, and it's back. And so the question here is, who benefits from this, Simon? Because you're sitting in what effectively is a neutral country between the two. I mean, Ireland is very close to you, and you have regular commerce with Northern Ireland from Glasgow. Who benefits from a trade war breaking out? Is this Johnson campaigning? Keir Starmer, I think in these last days, he's the Sir Keir Starmer is the leader of the opposition in Parliament. He has said Johnson is using this to distract from these what are called the sleaze scandals in London. This has to do with the bad acting or questionable behavior of certain members of the majority, the Conservative Party. Some of them quite prominent, earning thousands or hundreds of thousands of pounds doing their private business while they're sitting in the Caribbean. They're spectacular stories. But Keir Starmer says that Johnson whips up Brexit in order to distract us from his bad management. Is that credible to you?
Well, there's certainly a case to be answered there, but I think the situation with the EU or between the EU and the UK over Northern Ireland has been brewing. It's been brewing for many, many months now. It's been getting worse and worse and worse with no progress. Now, you know, Boris Johnson's a very, very good politician. He's very good at the politics of it. So, you know, it shouldn't be ruled out that he's brewed this up to distract attention. My view is that nobody wins. If the Northern Ireland Protocol and a trade war breaks out and we have increased violence in Northern Ireland, everybody loses. Where everybody can win in this is to find a way that works for everybody. And that's going to be hard, but that's where everyone will win. One thing I would like to see the UK do is if this Brexit the deal does break down completely and the European Union does impose tariffs on British imports, I would like the British government to have zero tariffs on EU imports into the UK. And I think that would be very good for Britain, and never mind that they want their consumers to pay more for British goods. I think that would be good. But no, nobody wins. It's one of those things. Everybody loses.
Is there tension between Ireland and England? Well, let me answer the question. It's been 1,000 years of England invading and persecuting and abusing the Irish legends, the famous kings, the people of Ireland. Hence, the island is torn in half. It happened 100 years ago, the time of the governments before the Second World War. Not to review that, we'll go to breaking headlines, which are quite spectacular about the bad feelings. This is the Telegraph reporting. No English oak trees can be imported from Britain to be planted in Northern Ireland to mark the Queen's Platinum Jubilee because of protocol rules. Simon referred to the Northern Ireland Protocol. One of those rules says no willow, no English oaks. This is the heart of oak, but also no apple trees, no poplar trees, no willow trees, no peach trees, no birch trees. They're also on the banned list from the protocols. Simon, if there was ever a better illustration of bad feelings, it's that you can't plant a tree in Ireland because they're on a banned list. Did you know
I knew nothing about this until it came out in the news. It is so ridiculous. I'd love to say they must be out of their tree. They're all off their rocker or something. This is really crazy. Oaks, you know, particularly oaks, are symbolic of Great Britain. And they should be allowed to be planted no matter where those oaks come from. If those oaks come from Scotland or England or Wales, they should be allowed to be planted in Northern Ireland. I really don't see the issue. And this also highlights the ridiculous rules that Brussels comes up with out of nowhere. They just don't seem to make sense. I can't get it, and I don't think anyone else can. And I think the tabloids, I know the Telegraph isn't a tabloid, but the tabloids will have a heyday with
this. Oh, yes, of course. The heart of oak, here it comes. Simon Constable, he is in Edinburgh, Scotland, momentarily in the neutral territory between the imminent war between Ireland, UK, and the mainland. This is CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.